Thank you, and you may be seated. And we have a guest speaker this morning, and he comes with great regards from Joel, who says that they're good friends. This is Larry Chu, I believe. Am I saying your last name correctly?
You did.
Oh, he told me. I thought he said, it's like something you put on your foot. I need all the help I can get. But anyway, I believe you are also a school teacher.
Yes, I am.
And we're so glad that you're here this morning. I think you have a tough audience in the fact that you just followed all the their kids. But we're looking very much forward to hearing from you this morning, and certainly welcome and God's blessings. Thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. Yes, my last name is what you wear in the foot, but it's also the generally the second syllable of a sneeze. And even more hilarious is my dad's first name is Ed, right? And he was a high school teacher, so kids would have fun with him all the time. I'm Ed Chu, God bless you, sir, you know, sort of thing. So really funny. I had two experiences this morning, and I just want to share with you before I launch into the message. That's true. That's true. Kind of dodge. Thank you very much. I successfully managed not to sit in a space where someone has sit for 30 years. That's always dangerous. So I managed to do that. And Jill, I had a fun little time with Jill. And Raleigh, are we recording right now? Are we recording right now? Yes, maybe. Okay. Well, she saw me and she said, "Well, I expected you to be way more older because you're friends with Pastor Joel." And I'm like, "Nice." So I just wanted to make sure we got that on audio. Fantastic, because I know he's going to listen to this. So that was for you, Pastor Joel. There are certain things that you hear that are not a news flash, and it's not a news flash to me, it's not a news flash to you, but I know that you are exceptionally blessed to have Pastor Joel. One thing I've known about him, I've been friends with him about 20 years, and we were good friends. He's always been interested in ministry, and a long time ago I was a senior pastor for about 10 years in North Manchester, and we would have a lot of just wonderful discussions, rich discussions about our walks with Christ, about following after Christ, what that meant, the church, what God desires for the church, and one thing that just bled with regards to him is he had a pastor's heart, and he still has a pastor's heart, and I know that you're blessed to have him, but also I know just from my discussions with him that you are a blessing to him as well. So I would just like to ask the Lord's blessing on our time that we have to spend in His Word, but also to just ask God's blessing on this wonderful church here. If you would just pray with me. Father and God, we come before you, and we just thank you and we praise you for your goodness. You are the good Father. Father, outside of you, we are lost. Because of the cross of Christ, which bridged that gap of sin for us to be able to be called your children, that is such a joy. So, God, as this church of believers, of followers of you, I just ask your blessing upon this church as they endeavor to be Christ to one another and Christ to a fallen world. And I just ask your blessing upon Pastor Joel as well, and just bless this group of believers as they endeavor to follow after you with their whole heart. Father, I just come to you now as we are believers in Jesus Christ, endeavoring to focus our heart upon your word. Holy Spirit, we ask for your help. Father, we know that through your Spirit, our hearts can be softened more and more and more. And I just pray that your Spirit would soften our hearts so that your word, which is a seed, can be planted in the deepest parts for no other reason, Father, but to show fruit in our lives, which brings glory and fame to your name, Lord. So, God, I ask your blessing on this time. If there are words that might have come out of my mouth that would not represent your word or you, I just pray that you would prevent them even from happening. so that all of this, Father, could be pointed towards one purpose, and that is to glorify you, our God, our King, our Savior, our refuge. You are our all in all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Pleasant Chapel United Methodist Church, I have a recipe for you this morning. And this recipe that I have is for this word. It's a recipe for spectacular. Spectacular. Now, I use that word for a reason, because that word spectacular, right, it comes from another word, spectacle. And the word spectacle, if you've ever used that word, boy, that's a spectacle. It's something that you've seen and it made an impression on you. It was a spectacle of sorts. Just something that you've seen, whether it be like even a car crash, or maybe it's an amazing movie, or even a touching movie. Just whatever it is, it's something that you have visually seen with your eyes, and it made an impression upon your heart and your soul. And so what I want to present to you this morning is a recipe, all right, that is for spectacular. You as a church, you are called to be spectacular. And you are spectacular in ways, and God calls us to even be more and more spectacular as we learn to trust in Him and follow Him more and more as individuals who desire to grow into more of the image of Jesus Christ. So we know with this idea of being spectacular, it involves what each and every one of you is doing personally. But as you are doing those same things personally, what that does, that brings together a church, which is a unified entity. They call it the body of Christ. And as you do that same thing, it becomes just that. It becomes a spectacle for the world as the world watches you function as a church, which is another word for called out ones, ones who have been called out to follow God. Are you a spectacle? To what degree are you a spectacle? To what degree am I a spectacle in the church that I attend regularly? Whatever your answers are, my promise to you is this. What we're going to expose our hearts to this morning, if you add the Holy Spirit to that, the power of the Spirit of God that is within you, no matter where you are at, God will make you as a body of believers more and more spectacular. A spectacle. My desire for you as individuals of Pleasant Chapel is that God's word this morning will give you that tingle. That God's word that we focus on will give you that sizzle, that stirring in your soul through the Holy Spirit. That's my desire. That's my goal. And I just pray that the Lord will accomplish that in and through us this morning. So let's jump in and expose our hearts to God's word this morning. I'm going to read for you a passage, and it is in your bulletin. We're going to read Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. And I'm going to back up a little bit and just kind of see what Paul, what he said before that to lead into it. And then we're also going to read the couple verses before that, and then we're going to launch into this particular passage. But Philippians chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5 say, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." We're going to break that down. We're going to look at what Paul was getting at when he was writing the Philippians a couple thousand years ago. And as we look at his pleading to the Philippians, we're going to know that through the Holy Spirit we are given His word so that we can take it and we can apply it to our lives as a body of believers. And so that's what we'll do here with 3, 4, and 5. But I just want to back up. I want to read for you Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. This was kind of Paul giving them a taste of what he's going to give them in the verses I just read. And verse 27 says, it's a plead, and he's pleading with them. And he says, "Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, I just want to just quickly point out that word worthy. That word worthy comes from the idea of a scale. And so if this is the worth of Jesus Christ, then your conduct is right there with Him. Unworthy would be, this is Christ's conduct and this is my conduct. But worthy is the idea of equal scale. So whatever that the gospel of Christ is and represents, obviously we know first and foremost it's love, that my life is worthy of that. That it reflects that it has the same weight, the same value. So conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So I love what Paul is saying here. Paul is just simply saying, if your lifestyle reflects Jesus Christ, I know some things that will be true. And what will be true is that you will be completely unified in everything that you do. And he even spells out those things that he says you will be unified, standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. He just makes a blanket statement. So if our conduct is worthy of Christ, this will be true. I don't have to worry about it. It's going to be going on. I love that. That confidence that Paul has in what he knows the Holy Spirit does in the life of a believer who is following after God. So that's what we have as kind of a foretaste of what he's going to give them. So let's go ahead and skip on down a little bit to verses 1 and 2, and then we'll launch into what Paul is doing in 3, 4, and 5. Verses 1 and 2 of chapter 2 says, if therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. So again, we're just re-echoing what he said in verse 27 of chapter 1, correct? His desire is that they be completely unified in the things of Christ. That if whatever Christ reflected, they will too reflect in their church. It's a beautiful thing. Now, if Paul just gave that big instruction and just left them to just, okay, go do it now, they'd be like, Paul, where do I start? Right? Because that's huge. Just be one, go. No. This was important to Paul. He was passionate about them being unified. So he gives them instruction. How to be unified. How to have this worth, if Jesus Christ is here, as a body of believers, you're here. And he gives instructions. And that's what verses 3, 4, and 5 is all about. So we're going to jump right into it. So just so you know what we're dealing with here in these three verses, what we have are three do's, do, okay, and three do-nots. So two do's, three do-nots, and then what we have, lastly, is a short summary of then what your mode of operation is when you are doing those two things and not doing three things. And he's saying that this is what your life will be if you follow along and prayerfully do these things. So let's go ahead and jump right into it. Right off the bat, we have two do-nots. It's not that Paul was negative. It's just that these two do-nots are primary obstacles to what he's about to tell them that he desires them to do. So that's why he hits these two first. So let's go ahead and look at verse 3. He says, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit. That's the first thing. Those are the two do-nots. Do nothing from selfishness and do nothing from empty conceit. Well, we know that word selfishness. As parents, don't we use it all the time with our children? You need to share. You shouldn't be selfish. Right? We know and understand what that is. Selfishness, we just simply know it's putting yourself first. Right? And as human beings outside of Christ, we're really good at that, aren't we? Just an honest moment as human beings. when I am not following after Christ, when I am not leaning into the Spirit of God and letting Him guide me, my default is me first. And selfishness, we know, is just flat out ugly. So that's the first do not. Do nothing out of selfishness. That's a prayer request, isn't it? Isn't it? God, please help me this day in the power of your Spirit to not be selfish, to not just put myself first. If Christ had put himself first, we'd be in a whole lot of trouble. Paul says as much. Because if Christ had not died on the cross, rose from the dead, he said Christianity is just a joke. That's in essence what Paul said. So do nothing out of selfishness. And the second do not was also do nothing out of empty conceit. Empty conceit. That word empty conceit, the old the version in the King James was vainglory. That was the term. And a lot of people don't hear that word very much or use it much anymore. But basically what that is, it's simply doing something just for show. Just for show. It means that you're not doing it with a good heart. There are some things I do just for show. I'll be honest with you, when I'm on Highway 30 heading from Winona Lake to Fort Wayne, I'm going about eight miles over the speed limit. I see a police car, just for show, I slow down to about five over. You know, am I doing that with a good heart? No, I'm doing it because I don't want to, you know, tempt someone, you know, police officer to give me a ticket for going 7-8 over. All right, so we do things sometimes for show. Maybe at work, you're working, you know, and you're just kind of doing an okay job, but when maybe the foreman walks by, you start working a whole lot better. You know how that is. So just doing something for show. And just so we understand what that is, in my life, when I am doing something for show, all right, what that is, it's just an extension of that first do not. Do nothing out of selfishness. Because when it's just for show, guess what? It's just me putting myself on display. That's all that is. So it's just an extension of do nothing out of selfishness. All right, let's go ahead and look at the second part of three, and that's where we have our first do. It's a big do, and let me go ahead and read it for you. Coming off of do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. So that the first part is not necessarily a do. What it's a cultivation of the heart. And so Paul is encouraging a cultivation of the heart, which leads into his, this I desire you to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's humility of mind. Another term that is in the Bible is a lowliness of mind. Just having a lowliness of mind. Now this is what it is not. It's not Eeyore. You know, Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh. Oh, well, I'm wet. It's raining. Gonna be a bad day. Right? That's not what Paul is talking about here. What he's talking about is he desires for our mind to have a different value system than the world. The world's value system with regards to oneself, you've heard it. Look out for number one. You've heard that before. And it's the way of the world. Look out for number one. Again, if Christ had looked out for number one himself, we'd be in a mess right now. There'd be no forgiveness of sins, etc. We know it's just silly talk to talk like that because it's God's eternal plan. And Christ is being, you know, God in a bod, right? God in a body. He obeyed the Father, of course. But still, that's that idea of having a lowly mind. That's another prayer request. God, please help me have a lowliness of mind. And there's a reason why he desires them to have a lowliness of mind. And it has to do, if you're ever in a bathtub that's kind of really full, if you took a beach ball and you pushed down on the beach ball, we know what happens. The water comes spilling out. And much the same, the water rises, right? When we have a humility of mind, what happens is people rise. And when people rise, then we start noticing things that we had not noticed prior. And that has a purpose. And that, what's the purpose? What comes next year? He says, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than himself. which that's the purpose of do not be selfish, do not do things for just for show, have a lowliness of mind so that you can regard others as more important. Now, that's a beautiful thought, a beautiful picture. Has anyone ever been on Michigan Avenue, out of curiosity? Michigan Avenue, Chicago? Yeah, they call it the Miracle Mile, right? Because if you walk that mile, you don't buy anything, it's a miracle. I don't know if you ever heard that. It's true. Oh, my goodness. But it's a lot of fun. One thing that you cannot miss when you're on Michigan Avenue are the skyscrapers. I mean, they're all around you. They make you feel kind of small, really. And as you look at the skyscrapers, you're like, wow, the skyscrapers are huge. Look at them all. And sometimes you can go to the top of some of these skyscrapers. My favorite is Hancock Tower. I love Hancock Tower. The other one, I think they call it Willis Tower. It used to be Sears Tower. But if you're up there, up at the top, you look down, and you're like, look at all the little people. Really, they're itty-bitty. They're like little ants scurrying around. Permit me to make just a pastoral comment right now. In life, we carry two views, one or the other. People, to you personally, are they as if you're on the bottom and the people are like skyscrapers to you and you're like, look at all the people, look at all the needs, look at all the hurts, I want to see to that. Or is it the mindset where you're on the top and it's like, oh, look at all the little people down below. See, that is Paul's point. Because when we have a lowliness of mind, people become skyscrapers to us and we notice them and we desire to have a ministry in their lives. Even that then, that's one of the purposes of the church is serving one another. It's a beautiful thought. But yet, at the same time, we know that all of this is leading towards something. And what is that? It's that God desires you to be a spectacle, to be spectacular. And the purpose is huge. So let us move on to the other part of that. And it is a do and a do not. It is together. And it is going to be found in verse 4. He says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. I'm going to read that again. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests. What that means is we're going to look out for our personal interests. All right? When I got up this morning, I brushed my hair. That was a personal interest because I didn't want to be up here like this, you know, where you're like, yo, he's peacocking today, right? I did not want to do that. You know, I wanted to be somewhat presentable. I brushed my teeth because I didn't want you to smell what I had for breakfast in the morning. That was a personal interest. I took care of that. And so it says, what it says is don't merely just look out for your own personal interest, but it says look out for the interests of others. Now, let me again just see how these dominoes are falling. Don't be selfish, Paul says, which is a prayer request and can only be done the power of the Holy Spirit. Do nothing just for show. Again, an extension of selfishness. Have a lowliness of mind and then regard others as more important. And then as people are more important, he says, look out for the interests of others. Now, this is the zinger. Okay, I remember when I came across this, I was like, wow. I mean, just a wow moment. And it's this, that word seek out. I'm going to share with you the original word that it was written in the Greek because it's important here. It's the word skopeo. Skopeo is the word that we get for scope, to scope out. In fact, it was a term that was used a long time ago for spies who were scoping out where the enemy was. And so what was the purpose? They are intently looking for something with a purpose. So Paul says that as you have a lowliness of mind and people become prominent to you here in this church, to intentionally look for ways to take care of one another. How beautiful is that? Can you imagine if everyone within a church got on board with looking out for the interests of one another? That would be a spectacle. That'd be amazing. A beautiful thing. And perhaps the body of believer does that in an amazing way. What's beautiful is the more you snuggle into God and you lean on the power of the Holy Spirit, it just becomes more and more and more. Scope out with intention. the needs of those around you. And I tell you what, as busy as life is, that has to be intentional, doesn't it? Because it's so easy just to get caught up in the scurry of life and just to be in our own things because we are busy people. We have lots going on. And sometimes we need to, through the Holy Spirit, bring it down and slow down enough to see people's interests and to look out for them. It's a level of proactivity. And again, all of this, as we put it together, it's a prayer request. And let me just model the prayer request to you. I don't pray this as often as I should, and I get away from it, and then I'm reminded, okay, God, yes, I need to get in this. But as you look at these verses, all right, 3 and 4, the prayer request is simply this. God, just please, please give me the strength through your Spirit to do nothing out of selfishness or do nothing for show. But please just give me a humility of mind so that others can be super important to me. And then give me the eyes to see the needs of people. And when I see it, give me the discernment and the strength what to do and when to do it. It says that's a prayer request. You're praying through God's Word. And not only just God's Word, but God's Word that has a rich purpose of you as a body of believers being unified and to be a spectacle that has a high calling that I'll share in just a moment. But all of this that Paul desires the Philippians to do, all of this that the Holy Spirit and God the Father and God the Son wants you to do, what is that? In a nutshell, what is that? It echoes the passage I read in Philippians 1:27, because it's in verse 5. What does verse 5 say? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. So here's the beautiful thing. Is when you prayerfully commit this to your heart and the Spirit of God gives you the strength to be doing this, what are you going to be doing? You are going to be walking, living as Christ walked and lived. Are you going to be perfect? No. We're human. Christ did it perfectly. He had an edge. He was God. But He does desire us to serve Him and to follow after Him. And isn't that always our target as followers of Christ? To be like Christ. And so He just gives us, Paul gives us the guts of Christ-likeness, but also to be a spectacle. Let me go ahead and just kind of bring this home for you. Why it's so important that God desires you to be a spectacle. And again, a spectacle, which means it's something that is being seen within your church. Not a spectacle in the sense that it's just being done for show, but it is being done genuinely. And it is going to be in John chapter 17. And I'll read it for you. John 17 is what some people call the Lord's Prayer. And it's not the one where Jesus taught the disciples how to pray and the Lord's Prayer that we recited earlier. But this is Jesus Christ who is praying to God the Father in chapter 17. And He also is praying for you personally. In John 17, Jesus prays for you individually and personally. It's phenomenal. Let me go ahead and read it for you. This is a Jesus prayer as He's praying to God the Father. And He says, and He just got done praying for His apostles, all right, His followers. And He says, I do not ask in behalf of these alone, His apostles, but I also pray for those who believe in Me through their word. That is you personally. If you have accepted Jesus Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, right, then that is you. That is you. So this is Jesus praying for all those who believe in Him through their word. Their profession. What does He pray for them? He says, I pray that they may all be one. That's just what Paul was talking about in Philippians, right? He's saying, have one mind, have one spirit, have one love. Paul wanted them to be one, but then Paul didn't say why, other than it is to be like Christ. But he says, I pray that they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in Me, and I am in you. I'm praying that they also may be in us. Now here's the kicker. Get this. If up to now, you've been like, I really want to get away hungry, and I get that because I've been there. Get this. Jesus is praying for you and all of you that you would be one, unified. Why? Because it says right here, so that the world may believe that you sent Me. I don't know about you, but when I first got this, my mind was blown. Because what is being prayed for here, he's praying that y'all would be one, right? So that the world would believe the cross of Christ. Forgiveness of sins. Eternal life. That people would believe. Now there's something going on here that's not specified, but it's obvious. If they're being one, and the world believes that the Father sent the Son because they saw them being one, there's something to be seen. It is a spectacle. It is something that the world is seeing, and they're like, wow. And then because of that, they're drawn to it through the Holy Spirit, and because of their belief, they become a follower of Christ. The Great Commission. So as we tie all this together, we know and understand that this idea of God desiring you to be a spectacle and how to be like Christ, which leads to unity, do nothing out of selfishness or empty conceit, but in humility of mind, regard others as more important, seek out the interests of others, have this attitude which is that of Christ Jesus. All of that is a recipe for a spectacle that when the world who doesn't know Christ sees, they're like, that's amazing. And it's used, God uses that to lead people to himself. Because of you, that's a spectacle. And that's an awesome privilege. And I hope and I pray that each and every one of you, that the Spirit just gave you a little tingle, a little sizzle, just to have your heart see the value of that part of God's Word. Wherever you are as a group of called out ones, as a church, I just pray that you invite the Holy Spirit to empower you to do these things, and you will be a spectacle for God's name, for God's fame, and furthering His kingdom. You join me in prayer. Father and God, we come before you, we thank you, and we praise you for your goodness, we praise you for your grace. You are the good Father. You have always been the good Father. And Father, I pray that you would empower this body of believers, followers of Christ, with Pastor Joel as their shepherd. I just pray that you empower them, Lord, to follow after you with their whole hearts, endeavoring to be a unified body that is a spectacle to a world that needs to know that Christ died for them. Clearing the problem of sin, of separating us from God and giving us eternal life and the ability through the power of Spirit to follow after Christ and to be Jesus to a world that needs to know. So I thank you and I praise you for the privilege it was this morning. And we thank you, Lord, for being our God. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.